no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin this week with the Green Hornet. We'll hear Sabotage Finds a Name from November 28, 1942. After that, it's The Dark Wall from Escape. That story aired July 1st, 1954.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. In the interest of our government, the King Trendle Broadcasting Corporation asks you to accept Uncle Sam as the sponsor of the Green Hornet program. To win this war, we've got to get the right workers in the right war jobs. Some cities need war workers badly, but they can't take in any more outsiders because they can't house them. That puts it right up to the people who already live in those cities. They've got to take war jobs, and they've got to start learning war jobs now. Free training can be secured by applying at the nearest local office of the United States Employment Service. As for you who do not live in a war production center, be patient. Your turn will come. Don't move into a city hoping to find a war job. Go to your local United States Employment Office instead. That office knows where the war jobs are and where you can get both a war job and a place to live. With his faithful valet, Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, Sabotage Finds a Name. The Green Hornet strikes again. It was dark outside the drugstore. The street lights were dimmed and the lights in the drugstore window were shaded. The man paced nervously in front of the store. With his thumb, he flicked a coin into the air and caught it, over and over. Then suddenly he stopped.
No, that's too much. I gotta have no part of it. Daily Sentinel, let me talk to one of your reporters. Hello, you a reporter? Hello. I got a tip for you about Mariana.
Double-crossing rat.
Holy mackerel, Casey, I never got such a shock in my life. My ears are still ringing. Right at the other end of the line, can you imagine?
I certainly can, Lowry.
Yeah. How would you like to pick up a phone, start talking to somebody, and then hear machine gun bullets? I've been jumping like a typewriter ribbon ever since.
Hello, Miss Cairns.
Oh, hello, Mr. Reed.
Hey, boss. Have you seen this morning's Sentinel?
Yes, I read it coming downtown. That is quite a story you had.
Well, thanks, but it's no credit to me. It might have been anyone.
My, he's getting modest.
Well, I just happened to be the guy that answered the phone, that's all.
I gather you went right over there.
He used up half my gasoline ration. You know, it's a lucky thing the phone was left off the hook. I was able to get the location and beat the opposition reporters there by an hour.
Any idea who fired that machine gun, Lowry?
No. Police haven't got the slightest idea. It looked like a gangster job.
What about the drugstore clerk?
Why don't you read the paper, Casey? The clerk was in the back of the store. He didn't see a thing. At least that's what he says.
The man who was killed, his name was Boots Lanigan. You mentioned that he had a police record, is that right?
A record as long as your arm, boss. As far as crimes committed, he was almost in the class of the Green Hornet.
Oh, I see. That's probably why he called the newspaper instead of the police.
Well, that's how I figure. But I still don't get it.
What's that?
Well, what he said. I picked up the phone, and all he said was, I've got a tip for you about Mariana. Now, why should an ex-thug like Lanigan mention a girl's name? What kind of a tip is that?
Mariana.
You sure? Well, that's the way I heard it. It doesn't make sense. Hey, you figure it out, boss. I can't.
Mariana. Mr. Britt, it's quite possible that Mr. Lowry heard wrong, huh? According to what he say, gangster only have time for that one sentence.
He might have gotten it wrong. Lowry usually hits the nail on the head.
Lanigan, very bad gangster, huh?
Yeah, it looks like a crime war, Cato.
Who Lanigan connected with? What gang?
The waterfront mob, Cato. They broke up more than a year ago when Dutch Fogel went to jail for... Hey, wait a second. Come to think of it, Fogel's out now.
Yes, that's so.
But this killing is the first sign of gang war. Why should Fogel bump off one of his own men?
Maybe Lanigan removed by other gang,
On top of that, it doesn't sound like Lanigan to turn informer. You know the criminal code, Cato. No matter what happens, never squeal.
All very strange.
Let me see that paper again, will you?
Yes.
Now, here's the follow-up story.
I already see that. Nothing has been added, Mr. Britt.
No, just a little family background on Lanigan. Parents are dead. Only living relative is a younger brother serving with the Marines in Guadalcanal.
Too bad Boots Lanigan not like young brother.
Yeah, with the Marines.
Oh, maybe that man say Marines instead of Mariana.
Perhaps. The other... That's funny, I never thought of that before.
Huh? Well, what are you doing, Mr. Britt?
You see it tonight, except for the dim out, Cato.
What are you saying, Mr. Britt? You know who Mariana is?
Perhaps I do.
It is girl?
It's usually referred to as she. Got the hornet mask and the gun, Cato. We're taking the Black Beauty.
A few moments later, stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passage built within the wall of the apartment house itself. The passage led directly to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet.
Where are we going, Mr. Britt?
Get in. We're going to take a look at Mariana.
Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. The section of wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
She is, Cato.
Who?
Mariana, of course.
I see no one.
You're looking right at her.
I see nothing but only salvage job on big boat next to wharf.
That's it, Cato. You see her name on the bow. That boat is named Mariana.
Well, if it ain't the boss. How'd it go, Fogel?
We figured you'd be in jail overnight anyway.
Me, Dutch Fogel, in the jailhouse overnight? Don't be cuckoo, boys. Just down there to talk to the police about poor Boots.
Yeah, that's what we meant.
They don't suspect me. Lanigan was my pal. They remind me to send some nice flowers to his funeral. I got nothing to worry about you either. Just dropped in to tell you boys that. Also, to ask a little question. Turn around this way, Chopper. Any of you others feel like Boots did? Anybody else want to turn patriotic like Boots did? Maybe you, Chopper.
Oh, nuts, not me, Fogel. I ain't got no brother in the Marines.
Nobody? That's fine.
We feel like you do, Fogel. We get us plenty of moolah. What do we care where it comes from? A stick-up, bank robbery, or from that Gestapo in Berlin?
That's all, boys. Pretty soon we get to work on that ship. I'll tell you when.
It better be soon. That salvage job ain't gonna wait.
Let me worry about that. Well, I'll say to you now. Chopper.
I'm looking for... Well, if it isn't my old pal Chopper. I see you're informal tonight.
What do you mean?
You're not wearing your brass knuckles, were you?
Chopper. Better way to act. Hello, Mr. Lowry. How's the newspaper racket?
Better than yours, Dutch. It pays regular.
Some sense of humor, this fellow, huh, boys? Yes, yeah, some sense of humor. You were in the police station when they questioned me. You come after me for something?
Yeah. A little information.
I told the police everything I know.
It isn't that. It isn't that. Holy mackerel. I know you didn't bump off one of your own men. It's just that I want some local color. We have to keep this story about Boots alive.
Oh, yes, I see. Boots is dead, but you keep the story alive.
Sure, it's good for the circulation. Why, I mean the newspaper circulation. So how about it? I guess you knew Lanigan as well as anybody did.
You got a car outside?
No, I grabbed a taxi.
All right, I have my car. You drive home with me.
Well.
I'll tell you about Boots. I'm all broken up, I can tell you that. You know, it doesn't do to fool with the law. Somebody's going to pay for shooting up poor Boots.
Listen to you. Oh, man, do I get a bang out of that. You've got a record that covers 3 pages of a police blotter, and you talk like a Dutch uncle.
Police blotter? That's all wrong. No, sir, I'm a good, honest citizen. It's all a mistake. But what happened to Boots? You ride with me, I'll tell you. Good night, boys. Don't stay up too late playing poker.
Good night, boss. That Fogel. Ain't he a pip?
He makes me nervous. Like a cat.
Come on, here with me.
I ain't gonna play no more. I'm tired.
What's the matter? You got weak knees about Boots?
I'm weak. I'm tired, I tell you.
Oh, my.
Okay. That's the way you feel. Here, it's just $5 worth. Cash me in. Thanks. Now, give me my hat. So long, punks. Don't jump at your own shadows. Those lily-livered. Okay, you. What are you following me for? Come on, speak up, I said.
Have you got a match?
Yeah, listen, I got no time for... Yeah, I guess I can manage.
What's wrong? You nervous?
Me? Hey, bud, how's... Hey.
Hello, Chopper.
Green Hornet.
You better drop it, Chopper. You'll burn your finger.
What do you want?
Too bad about poor Boots, wasn't it, Chopper?
I
feel awfully bad about Boots, Chopper. What do you say you and me go someplace and talk about it?
Yeah. Sure. Oh!
I told you you'd burn your fingers, didn't I?
Who is it?
Chopper, boy.
Go away, Chopper. Just beginning to retire.
Come on.
You're worse than every porter. You've got every good reason for this, Chopper. I don't like being disturbed.
I get a plenty good reason. I run into somebody tonight, boss.
So? Is he dead?
Will you stop your kidding? Why didn't you tell us Lanigan was a pal of that guy?
Boots Lanigan had no friends. Only his one brother, and he's far away. Besides, do I guess at riddles? Give it to me straight. Who'd you meet?
The Green Hornet.
Oh, you're the one who's making jokes.
You don't believe me.
Where'd you get that?
He gave it to me.
Seal of the Green Hornet.
I tell you, boss, I'm still shaking. Something about that guy.
What did he want?
Said he didn't like the idea of Lanigan getting murdered. that he felt like he ought to make up for it.
Revenge, huh? But you're still alive, Chopper.
Sure, I couldn't let him...
Go on. All right, I'll finish for you. You couldn't let yourself be shot, so you told him I was the one who killed Boots. That's not nice, Chopper.
No. All I told him was it wasn't me. You gotta believe me, Paul.
I don't believe you, Chopper. So I'm going to give you some bitter medicine like I gave Boots. A little lead poisoning, yes?
Folger, I tell you...
No,
that
I'll tell you. Don't try to square him, Chopper. I may be fat, but I'm also strong. You're going to die.
Drop him, Fogel.
The Green Hornet, eh? I'll give you what I was...
No, you won't drop it! I'll get back.
Dutch, this isn't the gun you used on Boots, but it'll do.
Hornet. Hornet, wait now. Before you go to shoot me, let me point out how useless a thing like revenge is. No one ever benefits from it.
You always come up with a moral lesson, don't you?
I'm very sorry. I didn't know Boots was a particular friend of the Green Hornet. But you'd have done what I did. I had to shoot him for strictly business reasons. He was going to squeal on it.
Is that right, Chopper?
Yeah, sure.
It was a very important business matter, Hornet, about... But you wouldn't be interested.
About the Mariana?
Chopper sometimes talks too much.
I didn't...
Button your lip, Chopper. Well, Fogel, I don't know. Maybe you had your reasons for getting rid of Boots.
Yes, be sensible about it, Hornet. Why have shooting when it's not necessary? Besides, you're a smart operator. Perhaps we can arrange something.
The only kind of arrangements I can understand are about money, Fogel. Hard cash.
Yes, a man after my own heart. But of course, hard cash, Hornet. I'll tell you, I get, the people who want the Mariana sabotage given...
Don't hedge. You mean the Gestapo? Say the Gestapo.
All right, the Gestapo. They furnish all the money I need. You're welcome to a generous slice, my friend. As a matter of fact, a man of your reputation can come in very handy. What do you say?
Sounds all right. I'll think it over, Fogel.
Boss, I hear footsteps.
Yeah.
He's right, out in the hall. Lock that door, quick.
Hey, Fogel, open up. The police are here. They want to ask you a few more questions.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. But first, in modern war, the worker behind a machine is as much a soldier of democracy as the man behind a gun. America needs every skilled worker who can be found. Machine setup men, tool designers, draftsmen. Our war industries need more workers with skill in almost every trade. If you've had experience which you think might fit you for a war production job, and if you aren't now engaged in war work, register at once with the nearest office of the United States Employment Service. That office will tell you where you're needed, where you can serve the war effort best. You'll find the address in your phone book or ask at your post office. Now back to our story. When a rap on the door announced the presence of police, the three men in the room froze abruptly. Britt Reed's eyes narrowed behind his Hornet mask, and he flung a low-voiced question at Fogel.
Is there another way out of here?
No other way.
If we're cut with a Green Hornet...
Quiet, you fool!
Oh, he's right. If I'm caught, you'll be jailed, too. We'll never be able to explain this away.
But there is no other way. This is four stories up right below the roof.
Fogel, wake up!
Stall them.
Yes. Just a minute. I'll open the door.
That won't hold them long. You'll have... What's that?
I heard it, too. It came... Well, I'll be... Look. Why didn't you tell me you had a rope hanging from the roof right outside your window, Fogel?
Oh, I never knew.
You can open the door in 10 seconds.
It sure takes that lug a long time to come to the door.
Hello. You cops are always waking a man up. What is it this time?
You and Chopper, eh? Who else is here? Well, I guess you were wrong, Lowry.
There's just the two of us, copper. I'm Fogle's bodyguard.
Yes, with Boots dead, I thought perhaps whoever got rid of him might have me next on the list. What were you looking for, Mr. Lowry?
Now, skip it, Dutch. I just thought I saw somebody else come in this joint after Chopper did. Guess I must have been seeing double.
Yes, I guess that's so.
Saved my life that time, Cato.
It's always very pleasant to do so, Mr. Bridge.
If you hadn't spotted Lowry and the police and dropped that rope from the roof, the capture of the Green Hornet would be headline news tomorrow. I wouldn't care for that, even as a scoop for the Sentinel. We'll put the Black Beauty to bed and then get some sleep ourselves. Plenty of sleep. I have a feeling we won't do much after tonight, not until Fogel's caught in that sabotage job he's planning.
It is the Mariana?
Yep, we guessed right on that one.
Well, correction, please. You guessed right.
Fogel said we could work together on the job. I said I'd call him tomorrow night. What do you think?
Fogel tells the truth like a Japanese ambassador.
You're right. But don't worry. I'm not trusting him further than I can throw the Sentinel building. The only trouble is, I still don't know what he plans to do or when.
You look a little tired, Mr. Reed. Hmm?
Oh, do I, Miss Case?
Well, I suppose you were out until 3 or 4 again this morning. Oh, gosh, Mr. Reed, you can't burn the candle all night long at nightclubs this way and expect to be on your toes in the daytime.
Why, be on my toes? I'm no toe dancer. Besides, look at this view, Miss Case. How can anybody work in this kind of weather? Ah, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Look at the view of the riverfront.
It is lovely. Look, they're still working to salvage that ship. I haven't spotted that in a long time.
The Mariana?
Mm-hmm. I guess they're almost done, aren't they?
I don't know. I haven't heard, Miss Case. Oh, it's much too nice a day to stay in an office. I'm leaving, Miss Case.
You're leaving?
Yeah, you know all the work that has to be done. Goodbye, Miss Case.
But Mr. Reed...
Oh, I've made up my mind. See you tomorrow.
But Mr... Well, if that doesn't beat everything. All play and no work. Oh, still it is a beautiful day. Uh-uh, Casey, none of that. You just work here.
Hey, Casey, where's the boss? I got news.
Well, didn't you see him? He just left.
No. Oh, I guess I missed him.
Well, whatever your news is, it'll have to keep till tomorrow. He's gone for the day.
Oh, well, it may not work out anyway.
Well, what is it?
The police. They just got a tip on where the Green Hornet will be at midnight tonight.
The Green Hornet?
Yeah, I'm going there with him. Casey, can you picture the headlines if this is on the level?
Oh, you certainly switch around, Lowry. Yesterday, you were all hopped up about the Lanigan murder.
That? It's old stuff, Casey. Can't run a paper on yesterday's news.
Well, I was just remarking. It seemed like such a mystery at the time. Good grief.
Hey, what gives? You look like a moonstruck goldfish.
Lowry, come here. To this window.
Now it's all the fuss.
You see that boat out there? The one that's rolled on its side?
Sure.
Do you know its name? I mean the new name the Navy gave it when they took it over for transport service.
Yeah, it's the, Oh, I got it. The Mariana. Yeah, that's it. The... Mariana. Casey. Holy mackerel, do you suppose that's what Lanigan meant?
I think you'd better call the police, Lowry. Might be a good idea if they doubled the guard on that ship.
Yes. Yes, that's right, Hornet. Perhaps we can meet tonight, huh? To discuss the boat, you know. Well, a good place would be the old reservoir north of the city. It's not being used. And it is a good dark night, hmm? How about midnight? Yes, it is too bad our plans are not yet completed to do the little, shall I say, job on the boat tonight. But there will be other times. Then midnight, yes? The old reservoir. We shall meet later, Hornet. Goodbye.
Well, you got him out of the way.
The old reservoir. The police will be waiting for him, not I.
We'll
be at the waterfront, under the wharves, ready to blow the Mariana to bits.
Some of the boys who've been watching say that they doubled the guard on the Mariana.
So? Then twice as many of them will be killed, huh, Chopper? I don't worry about them. I worry about the Hornet. And that worry will soon be over. Forever. ¶¶
How goes it, Sergeant? Did you find the Green Hornet?
That tip was phony, Lowry. We searched this old reservoir from rim to rim. Green Hornet isn't here. It's already midnight.
Hey, Sergeant! Sergeant!
Huh? What's up?
I just got a message on the short wave. Police call. No wonder the Hornet ain't here. He was spotted near the waterfront.
All right, Chopper. Let it drift.
Oh, it's black as pitch under these docks. Them piles are covered with barnacles. I scrape my hands.
Silence. We've prepared for this long enough for us to know this place blindfold. Right about here should be where we hid the oil barrels.
Not yet. First, now we got it.
They should be. Yes. How many times have we rode down here with these oil barrels, Chopper?
20 times, a barrel each time. I ought to know. I got blisters on my hands.
Yes, enough. We open them up and let the oil out. It'll flow directly down the Mariana.
I hope you're right about the current, boss.
Don't be a fool. The current is downstream, just right, fast. 10 minutes after the last barrel is drained, the oil reaches the boat. Then we light it from here and... Goodbye, Mariana.
Here's the first one, boss. That's one. I'll hold the boat steady. Here goes for the next. That's the last one, Fogel.
Good. 12 minutes. I'll push the boat upstream a little ways.
Guess that's okay.
Good. Now the flame so I can throw it toward the oil. So simple and so effective. I light this paper and set the oil aflame, and the oil sets the Mariana aflame. A match, Chopper.
Yeah, I got one right here.
Hey, Fogle. I almost missed you, didn't I?
Turn off that flashlight. You'll be seen.
Green Hornet.
Hornet, turn off that
flashlight. No, I want it to be seen, Fogle. By the time they locate it, you and Chopper...
Watch out!
No, you don't drop that match.
Chopper.
Let go!
Sure, I'll let go.
Open mouth.
Hornet, no.
Take
don't.
It, rats. All right, kid, that does it. Put the light in their boat and let's get out of here.
What a story, Sarge. What a story. Do you mean to say those babies were all set to put the Marianne on fire?
20 barrels of oil on the water, Lowry. If it hadn't have been that we spotted that light under the dock, they'd have done it.
It sure was a close call.
Yeah, but what I can't figure out is they were both unconscious. Fogel and Chopper, both of them. It couldn't have been the fumes from the oil, could it?
It wasn't oil, Sarge. Why, your eyes. It was gas. Gas with that gun and the Green Hornet carries. And don't ask me where he's gone to. I'm a reporter, not a magician.
Men and women who are not yet working directly in the war effort are asking, where can I serve? Where am I needed? Am I needed now? And if not, when will I be needed? The answers to those questions are waiting for you at your local United States Employment Office. If you live in a war production center, they'll probably tell you either that you're needed now or that you soon will be needed, and where you may get free training for a war job. If you don't live in a war production center, they'll tell you not to move into one until they first find you a job and a place to live, because most war production centers already are overcrowded. For answers to every question about your individual place in the war effort, go to your local United States Employment Office. You've just heard the adventure, Sabotage Finds a Name. These exciting dramas are sent to you each Saturday at this same time. They are copyrighted features of the Green Hornet Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. This program has come to you from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. This is the Blue Network.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are standing alone in a mountain village somewhere in the puppet country of Andorra, the high crags of the Pyrenees trapping the last of the daylight. And you know that in one of the stone houses facing you, behind one of the doors that is closed against you, is a beautiful woman whom you must find before she meets her death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Kathleen Height's story, The Dark Wall.
Quiet of the night settled over us. I could hear only the silky ripple of the River Segre nearby and a thin whisper of wind in the high pines above us. The strained silence of the day was over. Joyce was sleeping quietly now, a few feet away. I sank into my sleeping bag and prayed that things would go better tomorrow. Something roused me. Some sound. In a glance, I saw the gray of the pre-dawn, and then I saw Joyce. Poised at the side of my sleeping bag, wild terror in her eyes, and in her upraised hand, a heavy tire iron. Joyce!
But you wake up, Alan, don't!
Joyce, for heaven's sake, give that to me.
No, no, no,
give it to me, let go, let go. Let go, drop it,
no,
let it go.
No, I won't, don't, Alan!
Let it go! Joyce!
Oh, you were supposed to wake up. Why? Why did you have to wake up? Oh, Alan, Alan, I'm so afraid.
No, no, you're all right, Joyce. Joyce, don't be afraid. No.
Oh, Alan, what's wrong? What's wrong?
There's nothing to be afraid of.
It's so awful to be so frightened.
Well, what frightens you? Can't you tell me?
I was going to kill you.
You? What?
I wanted to kill you.
Well, Joyce... Are you afraid of me?
Oh, it isn't you. I love you.
And I love you, darling.
Oh, I know you do. Alan, please, can't we go now? Can't we get away from here?
I knew now that Joyce needed care quickly. Her sickness, whatever it was, had been a growing thing. As we drove through the narrow, winding roads of the Pyrenees toward the tiny state of Andorra, I tried to forget what had happened. Tried to ignore the mounting wall of silence between us. Something in that silence told me that Joyce's fears were greater than mine.
Why are you stopping here?
The road forks up there just ahead. I want to look at the maps. I'm not sure which way we're supposed to turn.
Aren't there any towns?
Well,
are we ever going to see people and buildings again?
You can't be too far from Andorra la Vieja, but I doubt if this road we're on is even on the map.
Then let's go back, Alan.
Let's see now.
If we don't know what's ahead, let's go back to Lerida or Barcelona. Anywhere but here.
It was a long way back, Joyce.
I don't care. This place, all tanglewood and pines, the narrow paths that twist and wander.
We're not lost, darling.
Then where are we? I don't like it, Alan. It's just a wild, lonely place. And it frightens me, and I beg you to take me out of here.
All right, darling. Don't worry.
I know what's behind me. The head, it's all unknown. Oh, I'm afraid of what's ahead.
No, you mustn't be afraid, Joyce. I won't let anything happen.
We
We wound steadily higher and higher through the wooded Pyrenees. We met no one and saw no one. Andorra is a small state, only 192 square miles in all, but that morning it was an endless, stretching, climbing no man's land, a lonely place with no name and no face. Then finally we came upon it, not a town, really, a village with one great house and a few smaller ones. Perched there on the rocky ledge, it looked like the last stop before oblivion.
It's so quiet. I wonder where the people are.
I wonder if there are people. It's not a town at all. Perhaps we should have turned back when you said to.
Look. Huh? Look at the window.
Where?
Why, I know I saw a face in the window.
Oh?
There's someone here, Alan. Someone.
No, you don't want to stay here, darling. Even if we find someone, this isn't the place for us now.
Look, you see? The door, it's opening. Alan, someone is here.
But, Joyce, this isn't the...
You have lost your way?
We were told there was a town here.
There is.
Well, is this all there is to it?
We do not require more.
Please. I'm tired. I need rest. Can't we stay here?
Is there a hotel? Any place where we can get a room?
There is what your eyes tell you there is. And no more.
Is there a larger town anywhere near here?
You are in Andorra. Nothing is far away. Nothing is easily reached.
What's the matter with you people? But you always talk in riddles. Can't you answer questions?
Alan,
can't
please,
you...
Please. We must stay here somehow. Just a while. I need to stop a while.
She is your wife?
Yes.
There is no hotel.
I see there isn't.
This house has many rooms, but we are a large family.
Please. Please, understand me. I've got to stay here. I can't wind around any more narrow trails. I've got to stop and rest. Can't you understand? Can't I make either of you understand?
Darling, it's all right. We'll find a room. You'll rest. Now, you mustn't worry, Joyce.
I must sleep. I must. No matter what happens, I must sleep.
Can't you do something?
Lady, you come. Woman!
Almost as soon as he called, a squat little woman appeared in the doorway. They exchanged only a look, and then she came and led Joyce into the house. At first, I thought the man meant for me to stay outside. He moved as if to stop me from following. Then he stepped back, and I walked into the house. Joyce was stretched out on the bed when I got there. The bed was the only piece of furniture in the room.
It's nice, isn't it, Alan?
Well, it's a room, a bed. I wish it were more.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Yes, darling. Now you go to sleep. When you wake up, as soon as you feel like it, I'll take you to Andorra la Vieja.
Yes, Alan. When I wake up.
Sleep well, darling.
She sleeps?
Oh, she's very tired.
The woman says she trembled. The woman says she is full of fear.
I don't suppose there's a doctor anywhere around here.
We have no need for doctors.
My wife is ill. We have need for a doctor.
You will not find one here.
I know. I know. Hey, what? Hey, get away from that car! Go on now. I said, get away from it.
You are the intruder, not they.
Oh, they can leave the car alone.
They have.
Who are they?
My sons, my brothers, their sons. We are the family here. We are called Valira. We tend sheep and our own affairs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm worried about my wife. I didn't mean to shout at them.
Most of the time, our mountains protect us. We do not like intruders. It is not so bad in winter. The snows fall deep into the passes. Seal them and keep the intruders out.
We are not intruders. We don't want to be here. We don't mean to be here. And I promise you, we won't be here long.
Sometimes the intruders come to hide in our mountains, to be lost from the world. Always the intruders are troubled people, full of fears and discontent. The worst of the world, they find their way to Andorra.
I walked away from him, along the crude cobble of the village path, away from the great house and the smaller ones. And everywhere, the sons, the brothers and their sons of Valera watched me with silent distrust. I walked to the rocky pinnacle that was the edge of the village, and beyond, as far as I could see, the awesome Pyrenees reached higher and higher, like a great wall closing out the rest of the world. I went back to the house where Joyce slept.
The woman is with her. She called out, and the woman went into her.
Well, I shouldn't have left her alone. I must...
Wait. The woman has brought her quiet. That is enough.
I wouldn't try to keep me out here if I were... How is she, woman?
She is quiet now. The woman would not leave her so if she were not
Joyce.
Quiet.
Oh, Joyce, darling.
They said you'd gone.
No. Only for a little while. Only while you slept.
Don't come any closer.
Oh, Joyce, what is it?
Please, leave me alone. I want you to leave me alone.
Oh, we're going to get out of this place, darling, together.
No, I won't go. I won't.
We'll find the right road. It can't be far. And I promise you, darling, everything will be all right. We won't come here again, ever.
Why don't you listen? Huh? I talk to you and you don't listen. I'm not going with you. You can't make me go with you. No.
Joyce, wait.
Oh, don't let him take me away. Please don't let him take me away.
Joyce was clinging to the woman. Valera stepped in front of them as I came back to the front room, and beside him, from every corner of the room, the rest of the Valera men began to form a wall between Joyce and me. A wall of men. Silent men. With staring distrust in their eyes. What are you trying to do? Oh, can't you see she's sick? I've got to get her out of here. Don't you know that? I'm taking her with me. And the whole lot of you can't stop me.
You are listening to The Dark Wall, tonight's presentation of Escape. One advantage in having several radios about the house is that they make it possible for housewives to listen while they work. A kitchen set, another in the living room, perhaps a third in the bedroom. Keep them all tuned into CBS Radio for our great roster of daytime dramatic stories. And now, Escape and the second act of The Dark Wall.
I roused from a sleep that was tortured and full of pain. A bright afternoon sun shone in a haze about me, and when my vision cut through it, I saw nothing my eyes had seen before. I was in my own car, pulled to one side of a road that was wider than any I'd seen for days. And not far in the distance, I could hear the approach of other cars, but none were yet in my view. I got out, stood in the roadway. For all the stiff pain of me, it felt good to be part of the world again. But then I remembered Joyce and the wall of Valera men, and I was lost and lonely and sick.
Hey, you should not walk in the middle of the road.
No,
No, no, I shouldn't. Only...
You are hurt? An accident?
No, I'm all right. I just don't know where I am. What road is this?
Oh, you're in Andorra. You know that?
I know that.
Then, straight ahead on this road, the direction your car is pointing, no more than 4 kilometers, lies the capital, Andorra la Vieja.
Straight ahead, Andorra la Vieja.
I promise. I have just come through there myself. You are sure you are right? Not hurt?
No, I'm much better now. Do you know this country well?
Oh, well enough to drive through it quickly. My home is in Spain.
You wouldn't know a village near here, maybe a small village where everyone is called Valera?
No, I would not know it. There are many such villages in Andorra, if you can find them.
I must find it.
Perhaps in Andorra la Vieja?
Perhaps. My hopes were high for Andorra la Vieja. There would be answers for all my questions. There would be concern and help and interest. I told myself these things to keep my mind from filling itself with Joyce, to keep the pain quiet. Some corner of my mind held the memory of all that had happened in the house of Valera. I could not be sure I wanted to remember.
I do not see why you have come here, to me.
I didn't know any place else to go. I need so much help, I thought surely the police could do something.
There has been a crime?
No, my wife is ill, very ill. She's with strange people in a strange village. I've got to find help for her and go back there.
Then why do you not do this? Why do you bother me?
I've told you... Will you try to understand me? I don't know where the village is. I don't think it's far away, but... I don't know where it is.
It has a name, the village?
I don't know that. The people there are called Valera.
There is a river called Valera.
No, I saw no river. No, not there. It was high, on a rocky crest of a mountain, just a few houses. You must know where it is.
You were there?
Yes, this morning.
Then you must know where it is.
No, I don't. I don't have any idea where it is.
But you were there this morning. Now you are here.
Look, I don't know how I got there. Can I make you understand that?
I think none of this is important.
Well, it's all important to me. My wife is ill. She needs care.
You tell me that. Perhaps then you would tell me why you left her in a strange village you do not know, with strange people you do not know.
I didn't leave her.
But she is there, and you are here.
Oh, you won't even try to help me.
Help you? Help you what? Find a town where you have been, and I have never been?
All right. All right. I can't talk anymore.
There is a hotel across the plaza. You will find other intruders there. Among them, a doctor.
I wasn't sure I'd heard him clearly, but there were no questions left in me. I stumbled out into the glaring sunlight again, steadied myself against a pillar, and when I could make out the hotel across the plaza, I walked there, held together, I know, by the thin strand of hope that I would find the doctor and there would be help for Joyce.
Here, drink it, Don.
Oh, hey, whiskey?
It's good whiskey. You need it.
Oh. Oh, good. It helps. But you do understand, doctor, that I have not come about me.
Your wife, I know. I understand that.
Oh, I'm glad someone does. You think the priest can help us? You think he'll be able to find the village?
Oh, the padre will direct us there, if anyone can. Meanwhile, there's time. Now, tell me about your wife as much as you can, as much as you know of her illness.
Well, I've called it illness. I suppose it's that. Fear. Unreasonable fear is an illness, isn't it?
Oh, indeed it is, yes. Has she known these fears long?
I don't know. We've been married less than a month. I knew her only a short time before that. No, it was all pretty sudden. She was alone, I was alone, and then we were together.
Did you happy together?
Oh, yes. Very happy. Very much in love.
Until this strangeness came over her.
Yes, yes, that's right. May I?
Oh, please do. Help yourself. Yeah.
Thank you.
How was it you described the the difference in her, the difference in your relationship?
Like a wall, a mounting wall of silence.
And in this silent time of hers, she is much different? Not at all like the girl you married?
She doesn't even look like herself. Her lovely, gentle face contorts into a wild thing. Like she was an animal. Oh, it's ugly, Doctor, and so real. Now, I couldn't imagine that, could I?
No, I don't believe you could. She was like that early this morning when she tried to kill you?
She kept saying that she had to kill me, that she wanted to kill me. And all the while, she was so frightened. So very frightened.
But do you know what frightened her? Do you know any reason why she should want to kill you?
Well, I thought she must be afraid of me. She'd have no reason to be, but I thought that must be it. I asked her, and she said, it isn't you. I love you. Oh, the poor darling.
And she said that after she tried to kill you?
Almost immediately afterward. It's a complete contradiction, I know, but that's the way it is. As if Joyce were two persons, two directly opposite persons.
That may be precisely the case, you know.
I don't understand.
Two persons. One almost entirely good, gentle, kind. The other almost entirely evil, terrifying, menacing. Fiendish at times. Two persons occupying one body. That's schizophrenia.
Oh, no. No, not Joyce, Doctor.
Oh, I'd have to be sure, of course. But from what you said... Well, still, I'd have to see her and talk with her. Or there are many steps to take. No, the important thing now is to see her as soon as possible.
Schizophrenia, that's hopeless, isn't it? I mean, there's no cure, is there?
Well, it depends largely, I should say, on how long these two personalities within her have been warring one with another, the good and the evil and the moral and the immoral. If the cleavage is minor at this point, if the breach between her two selves, as it were, is not yet great, then there is a measure of hope.
But she couldn't go on this way indefinitely, being two people. Mustn't one of her selves, as you say, win this war?
If it progresses unchecked, well, then yes, one self will emerge triumphant. Which is a poor war word here, for in such an instance, the evil almost inevitably triumphs over the good.
Can we go to her now?
Yes, I'm sure the Padre will have our directions.
The priest's directions were perfect. As I'd assumed, the village was not far away, but the drive was an eternity for me. The strain of the last days was beginning to tell. I was wound tight and knotted by all that had happened and torn deep by all the doctor had said. I stopped outside the great house of Valera. The doctor touched my arm.
Perhaps it's best that I see her alone at first.
Oh, but I've got to see her.
Oh, I know, and you will, but you don't know what happened here before you left. The last you remember, she was terrified of you. I'll send for you soon, I promise.
Tell her I love her. Will you?
Oh, indeed, I will. Oh, there's one thing I neglected to tell you, one important facet of this. If we find what we fear most, you must take this comfort to your heart. A girl you love, who loves you, has no knowledge whatsoever of her other self.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes, you ponder that. I shan't be long.
I watched the house door close behind him. And there in the high quiet alone, I took the comfort he offered me. The choice I loved, loved me. That was all there was, really. All in the world I needed to know.
You will not go in there. The woman, the doctor, they have brought her quiet again.
I am going in. I will kill any or all of you who stand in the way. Move. Move! There. Anyone else want his head bashed in? Good. We'll make a real mess of things, won't we?
Come on. I like to crack skulls. What's the matter? Come on. Keep me from that door. Make one little move and I'll tear you loose. Men of honor, I see. Where is she?
Don't let him try to kill me again.
Look at her. Look at all of your crawling, shrinking cowards. What are you, gentlemen? You make me sick, all of you. I killed him, you know. He was a gentleman. Dear, gentle Alan. No. He won't be with us anymore.
Oh, please, somebody do something.
Easy now. Somebody will. Come on.
No.
I'll tell you, Joyce, what I told him. And you must take this comfort to your heart. Alan, the man you loved you very much. He didn't know this other self ever existed.
There were faces all around me. A wall of faces. Senseless, staring faces. And beyond them, a strange girl wept softly. All strangers. Strangers staring at me. And I stared back at the wall.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you The Dark Wall by Kathleen Height, starring John Daner with Joyce McCluskey. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Edgar Berrier, Nestor Paiva, and Fritz Feld. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are in a farmhouse on the southern coast of England. The autumn countryside around you desolate and bleak. And you know that in the dusk outside, waiting patiently for you, silently watching for you, is an enemy from whom there may be no escape.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Daphne du Maurier's story, The Birds. A reminder for drama and adventure fans, two of CBS Radio's best-known thrillers, Gangbusters and Gunsmoke, both heard Saturday nights, will be moving to Monday evenings on most of these same stations after this Saturday's performances. Follow the latest crime clues and true crime-smashing drama on Gangbusters this Saturday night, and don't miss U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon's latest Western adventure on Gunsmoke the same evening. Then, after this Saturday, remember to listen for them both on their new night starting next Monday, July 5th. Listen while you work. Enjoy Argal Sunday, Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Green Hornet, Escape, thousands of other old-time radio episodes, more from The Relic Radio Show at relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep them coming every week, you can donate through the website as well. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, so any amount is always appreciated. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.